Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
This is entitled, Two Ways of Looking at Things. There was a man and his wife that were attending his 25th high school reunion. And he kept looking at a woman who was sitting by herself over in a table. She was all alone. She was obviously drunk. And he just kept looking at her. Finally, the wife said, "I take it you know her." And he said, "Yeah, that's my old girlfriend. When we broke up a long time ago, word is she took to drinking. She hadn't been sober since." His wife said, "Wow. It's hard to believe anyone could go on celebrating that long." Two ways to look at things. Tonight, I want to share a story from, it's one of my favorites, but it probably is one of the best examples of a spiritual mindset versus a carnal mindset. Our text has been Romans 8:6. "For to be carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And so I want to share a story with you from the Bible that gives you such a great picture, such a great contrast between a spiritual mindset and a very fleshly or a natural mindset. And the idea is not so we can just hear history. The idea is so we can look at this and go, okay, all right, here's some things that I can do and put into place. The story goes back to where Moses is leading the nation of Israel. He's led them out of Egypt. God delivered them, some horrible plagues that came, and God got them out and led them through the Red Sea, and they've come right up to the edge of the Promised Land. And now it's time for the nation of Israel to go into the land that God had promised them. That's why it's called the Promised Land. God had continually told them, "I'm giving you a land. I'm promising this land. It's a good land." And so they've come right up to the edge of it. And we're just going to read down through the stories, but I want you to see how it sets up. And then two very different responses to people who saw the very same land. In Numbers, the 13th chapter, verses 1 and 2, it said, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them.'" So you notice where God said, he said, "I'm giving it to them." He didn't say, "I want you to send some people in to see if they can do this." He said, "I'm giving them this land." And the objective was to send them in, and they were going to come back, and they were going to be excited and get the people excited about the good land that God had for them. And so Moses never did send them in with the idea of, just kind of figure it out, guys, to see if we can do this. He sent them in with a very defined purpose. And so they spent 40 days, 12 men. He sent everyone a leader from every one of the tribes. And that lists their names and which tribe they're from. And the ones we know the best are Caleb and Joshua. But there were 10 other leaders there. He just didn't ask for volunteers. He picked people who would have influence so that when they came back, people will be listening to these leaders and going, oh, this land is great. This is wonderful. So that was the objective. But that's not what happened. They spent 40 days out there. And when they came back, I want you to hear how they begin to talk about the land. So the 10 spoke first in Numbers 13, 27, 29. It says, then this is the 10 spies who said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." A lot of heights. They're talking about these guys, and they said, "Yeah, it's a good land." They said, "We went to the land. It truly flows with milk and honey." And so they're very brief on that, but then they really begin to drill down on the problems that were in the land. So we saw the cities are large and they're fortified. Now, God had already told them, I don't know why it caught them by surprise. God had told them, I am sending you into the land of the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Canaanites and the Amalekites and all the otherites and the Termites and the rest of them. He said, I'm sending you in. He said, and so this wasn't a surprise to them. They knew it was coming, but it really bothered them. And so here they are now as they're coming back and they're really beginning to say, and you can start to hear the tone. Yeah, it's a good land, but without being crude, where you put your butt is important. What they should have said is, yeah, there's a lot of people there, but God promised us the land. What they said was, it's a good land, but there's all these. And then here's really when they begin to get into trouble. The 10 spies really begin to magnify the problems. So again, we're talking about a different mindset. And this is not a spiritual mindset. This is just the opposite. And they begin to magnify the problem. So let's look, because Caleb and Joshua were excited about it, but Numbers 13, 31, so we're just continuing the story, said the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, come from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Now we're starting to get into problems. And we're starting to get into problems because what they're beginning to do is already they're beginning to say, even though God said, I'm giving you this land, they're disagreeing with God. They're saying, we can't do this. The people are stronger than we. Now, keep in mind, there has been no battle. They haven't fought anybody. So all they've done is seen the land. All they've done is seen the people. They've gone through the land. No one's fired a shot. But they've already determined, we can't do this. They're stronger than we are. Those words are powerful. And they're powerful in a negative sense. They said, we can't do it. They're stronger than we are. They started calling the land a bad land. They said it went from a land that flows to milk and honey to a land that devours its inhabitants. Well, that's not good. This land will eat you up. This land is harsh, man. This land kills people. They said the giants were so big, we seem like grasshoppers. Now, again, that's their perspective. But they said something very interesting. We seem like grasshoppers in our sight, and so we were in their sight. One of the things you have to be real careful of is not projecting on other people how you feel about yourself. You know, you've ever noticed sometimes people who feel very rejected think everyone else is rejecting them, and that's not the case. But they've already developed that mentality. This is why it's so important to read your Bible. This is why everybody at the Ark Church reads Bible 365. Everyone does. But because what we're doing is we're getting God's perspective of us and how he sees us. And then we begin to lose and drop out of that negative perspective. And God's word, I'm going to tell you something. God's word will do more for your self-esteem than any affirmation or any positive or encouragement you can get from anybody else. It'll begin to build you up on the inside. You begin to get a different perspective. But these guys already had a negative perspective. They're like, oh, no. They said, man, we seem so small. And they saw us as small. And so they're already beginning to project on someone else what they felt about themselves. And this caused a problem because all this negative hit like a sledgehammer. Look what happened with the people. Numbers 14. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Now we're dying. Or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword that our wives and children should become victims. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Can you imagine how here they are on the edge of the promised land, and they hear this 10 spies report, and they go completely to the negative. And when they went to the negative, they cried all night. Now, we just talked a couple Sundays ago about David when he went through a difficult time and he cried, but he got up. You know, if you have something that's happened to you and you've cried about it, I think all of us have shed tears. There's no shame in that. But you just don't want to stay there. You want to be able to, after a while, just to dry your tears and let's get going and let's move. But think about it. Nothing traumatic had happened to them. They had not been beaten in a battle. They had not been defeated. And they're crying like they had been defeated. They cried and they wept all night. In fact, later on, Caleb said, he said, I brought back word as it was in my heart. He said, but the people who went with me made the heart of the people melt. Now, this is something we can also take to heart. Do you realize that you can lift somebody or you can cause their heart to melt with your words? And especially the people who you're closest to. I remember when I was in sales, my wife, who was a darling, was really good. And I went through some rough times in sales, but man, I appreciate how Joy handled it. I would leave and she used to make me a breakfast sandwich of eggs, cheese, and sausage, and put it on two things of bread until my mother came and said, you're trying to kill him. You're going to kill him with cholesterol. You're trying to kill him. May have been but when I would leave, in the day, she would go, I know you're going to sell something today. I know you're going to have a good day. Those words help. Not looking at me going, we're going to die if you don't sell something soon. It's going to be over. The kids are starving. They need clothes. And your words can cause someone's heart to be strengthened or to melt. Good relationships are built on words. Good companies are built on words. You build on words, you create an environment. You create an environment with your words. And here's the challenge. People believe negative words quicker than they believe positive words. You say negative stuff and people will snap to it. I've often laughed and said, just if you don't see the difference of that, just go to the post office at Christmas time and stand in line. And all you got to do is say, dear God, I could just die standing in line here. And everyone around you is going to go, I know, it's so true. So just try this just for fun. Just say, you know, I'm really grateful for the American postal system because you go to other countries and it's really horrible. They'll look at you like you grew a third eye right there. Why? People believe negatives quicker. And here these people were, the 10 spies made their hearts melt, but look what they did. It went from worse to worse. So they said, they cried all night. Then they started complaining against the leadership. That's not good. But then it got worse. Then they accused God of wanting to kill them. God had a lot of opportunities to kill these guys before then. He could have killed them at the Red Sea. He could have killed them in Egypt. He could have let them die of hunger, die of thirst. God had no interest in killing them. But if you ever notice, when you start to go negative, it can snowball on you. And you can go from just it's a bad day to all of a sudden nothing is good and everything is horrible. And so that's one of the keys. That's why the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. So here's the deal. If you've tended to be negative all your life, the best thing you can learn to do is, one, be quiet. Just don't say it. And then learn to say something good. And that'll help you, because I'm going to give you some guys who did it right. So then they talked about going back to Egypt and going back into slavery. 10 guys shared a message that we can't do it. We're too weak. We can't, and the people believed it, and man, they're ready to go back, become a slave again. But there's a spiritual mindset, and here's a great example. 2 against 10. It really was a minority report. This is Caleb and Joshua, and look at what Caleb and Joshua say. Man, I like these guys. Caleb quieted the people before Moses. This is after they had talked about all the ites in the land. And said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, here's the deal. Caleb and Joshua saw the same land the other guys saw. In fact, years later, they asked Caleb, and Caleb was recounting this for Joshua. He told Joshua, he said, I brought back word as it was in my heart. So in other words, he didn't get caught up talking about the size of the people in the Amalekites. He said, what's in my heart is, let's go get it. We can do it. Now remember, we're talking about a spiritual mindset. Let me help you with a spiritual mindset. Spiritual mindset is not weird. It's not you just kind of like, ooh, I'm spiritual, ooh. No, no. Spiritual mindset's not weird, but a spiritual mindset is positive. So, well, are you talking about positive thinking? Listen, God did positive thinking long before anybody else figured it out. God's positive. And so Caleb and Joshua stood up and said, we can do this. Let's go get it. Let's do it at once. That's a good way to do if you're on the right track. Are you hesitant or are you positive? And then he keeps going because they were talking about going back and quitting. And in Numbers 14, I want you to see how Caleb and Joshua begin to talk about this. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. Now, that's a Jewish thing. When they would get upset, people were talking about going back, and Caleb and Joshua were so upset, they ripped their clothes. We don't do that anymore, but they did. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceeding good land. Now listen to how he's talking. This is a good land. Now look right here. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Like I said, it's easier to believe negatives than to believe positives. But look at this. Listen, guys, this is one of the best examples of a spiritual mindset. So they begin to talk. They begin to say, this is a good land. It flows with milk and honey. They did not even go into detail about the problems. And then they begin to say this. They were the only ones, Caleb and Joshua, were the only ones who mentioned God. The only ones. Everyone else is talking about what things were, just naturally speaking. And Caleb and Joshua are going, oh, if the Lord delights in us, he'll bring us into this land. Now we're talking, remember, I haven't forgotten what we're talking about. A spiritual mindset is always going to factor God into the situation. So they begin to go, hey, if the Lord delights in us, he will do it. He said, don't rebel against the Lord. The Lord told us to take this land. Don't go against him. And then, man, I love what he says. He said, the Lord is with us. Don't fear them. This is not, and they almost said, these people are bread for us. This is not a big deal. Spiritual mindset, natural mindset. A spiritual mindset is going to bring God in. A spiritual mindset is going to talk about what the Lord is doing. And this is where listen, a lot of times, unless you were really raised in a family that taught this way, we've never been taught this. We have to learn this. So there's no condemnation. Listen, Joy and I catch each other all the time. And we're like, hang on. We've been talking problem too much. We've been magnifying problem. How many know you can get on a problem and you can blow it way out of proportion? And the more you talk about it, the bigger it gets. We talked about, biggest thing to Joy and I remember, we had a date night going to Papacito's. It was our first time I was taking Joy to Papacito's. I'd been taking her to Poncho's, and now I'm going to take her to Papacito's. So we're living big. And so we're going to Papacito's, but we just gotten a bad report from the doctor about one of our children. And we got in the car, we started talking about it. And we talked about it, and we talked, this is when the Papacito's was near Guns Point, and we had to go all the way down there. And so we talked about it all the way down there. And then we talked about it through the chips and the salsa and everything else, and it ruined the meal. Because by the time we started, the problem was this big, but it blew up to this big. What you talk about a lot is going to get bigger in your life. This is why what Caleb and Joshua did is such a great example for us. We need to start talking about the Lord is helping us. The Lord is good to us. You say, Alan, I haven't seen it yet. Neither had they. Caleb and Joshua hadn't seen a battle yet. They hadn't seen the Lord give it to them yet, but they believed that what God said He would do, He would do. And so they brought that right into their conversation, and they brought that into their report, and they began to declare, God will help us. Guys, listen, as believers, as Christians, we ought to say that a lot. The Lord's helping us. God is with us. He is doing good things for us. Now, listen. When you first start saying this, it will sound weird in your mouth. You'll start going, the Lord is helping me. And here's the problem. People feel like, I feel like I'm lying. I feel like I'm lying. I don't feel like that's true. It's because we've been so used to talking negative all the time. When we shift over, begin to talk about what God can do, it sounds weird to our ears. But can I tell you something? You can train yourself that sounds normal. And you can just walk around your house going, Lord's good. Lord's good. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a good verse just to say, what are you doing? Remember, we're talking about a spiritual mindset. Caleb and Joshua, man, they began to declare this. They said, and here's another thing they did. They said, these guys are bred for us. And when I was a kid, we used to have a saying, that's easy as pie, which I'm not a baker and pie's not easy, but it was kind of a saying, easy as pie. And that's in essence what they're saying is, these guys are bred from us. We will eat them alive. Now, here's something, there's something we don't want to miss. Too often we magnify the problem and we minimize God. We need to switch it. We need to start, because man, something can happen and situations happen. Trust me, all of us have dealt with it. And we can talk about the problem over here, and the more we talk about it, the bigger it gets. Or we can talk about the Lord's helping us. He's always helped us. He's sustained us. He has been with us. He's never let us fail. He has helped us. He's going to go. And what happens is you start doing, and listen, just start this on your own. Just start this in private. And just learn. You got plenty of time by yourself. You're in the car. You've been going down the car, acting like you're talking to someone on the phone. You're talking about the Lord being good to you. Thank you, Lord. You're good. You're faithful. When Caleb and Joshua said this, made the people mad. I will tell you this. If you have a spiritual mindset, it may put you at odds with people. Now, I'm not saying that you have to be weird. Please. But it will put you at odds with people. I remember one time some people talking to me, and we were talking about our children. And these two ladies were talking, I worked with them, and they looked at me, and neither one of them had children, but they were telling me what was going to happen with my children. Here's just a note. Never take information from people who are more messed up than you are. You never had kids. Don't tell me how to raise them. But they looked at me, and they went, but because I was talking about I love my kids and enjoyed my kids, and they said, but when they're teenagers, they're going to break your heart. And I just didn't want to buy into that. My kids weren't perfect teenagers, and we went through things. But I'm not going to start agreeing with heartbreaking when my kids are 6 and 4. I'm going to start believing that my kids are going to be great kids, that we're going to have a great relationship. Why buy into all the negatives that everyone else has got going on? So a spiritual mindset says, that's not what I'm believing. I looked at them and said, no, I believe if I raise my kids up in the way they should go, that even when they're old, they won't depart from it. And they looked at me and went, oh. But their approval is not that important to me. What's more important to me is that I establish in my own life and establish for my family what I believe God can help me do. And so not everyone's going to jump on board. Trust me. Not everyone will. But then you have to ask yourself, well, who do I really want to follow? I want to follow, I like Caleb and Joshua. You know, Caleb and Joshua were the only ones in their generation who went into the promised land later on. And Caleb, when he was 80, he's like, I'll take the mountain. I'll take that mountain right there. That's how I would like to be at 80. Didn't get much amens out of that. How you want to be at 80? You want to be bent over and complaining about how hard it is to get old? Or you want to be like, God, we've not done everything we need to do. We're going to do everything you called us to do. Let's go. Say, well, what if you're not? Well, at least I'm going to go down trying. How's that? And I'd rather go positive than go negative, because there's enough negative in the world. We got to have some Christians who are positive and believe in a good God. And we're just like, yeah, God's good. We're going to come out of this. But you're just preaching. Yeah, exactly what I'm doing. I'm preaching, but it lives better. It lives better. This goes great on Wednesday night, but it goes a lot better on Friday morning, Monday afternoon. Yay. Two ways. So, two ways of looking at things. Here's a spiritual mindset. Let me just give you four things. Spiritual mindset has God's word as the basis of belief. God's word is the basis of belief. John 17:17 says that Jesus said, your word is truth. He said, separate them by your truth. Your word is truth. So not basis of belief is not feelings or culture or wants or desires. Now, whenever I bring that up, I just tick people off. I didn't say it. Jesus did. I agree with him. The basis of my belief, I need to base my belief on truth, not how I feel. Do you realize that feelings can come and go? And feelings are highly unreliable and a poor leader. Not on my desires, not on the culture, I'm going to base it on God's word that's truth. Well, that's weird. Well, Jesus said we'll be separated by the truth, but if I'm going to be separated, at least I'm on the positive side of things. So I'll take that. God's word is the basis of belief. A spiritual mindset magnifies God, not the problems. What are we talking about most? What are we thinking about most? You say, well, Alan, I'm having a hard time. How do I get to where I can magnify God? Here's a great verse in Psalms that gives us a jump start. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Never one could do that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your help. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, you are good. Thank you are faithful. I trust in you, Lord. I thank you. Just thanking God. That's a great way to magnify. We're quiet tonight. Are you cold? I guess warm in here, right? Magnify him with thanksgiving. He gets bigger. The more we talk about him, the more we give him thanks. And I don't know about you guys. In the world we're living in, we need a big God. We need a big, strong God. And our God's big and strong and does great things, does wonderful things. You know, I didn't know if I was going to be able to preach tonight because, I was hacking and coughing and wheezing and sneezing. But we got a good God. He helped me, and we're able to do that. Say, that's because you're a preacher. No, it's because we love him and trust him, and he helps us. Not just me, it's you. Make it personal. Take it for yourself. This is no hierarchy here. This is not preachers and everybody else. This is the foot of the cross is level playing ground. We all come to the Lord the same way. We all get saved the same way. We all have the same benefits. It's the same. Good stuff. You say, well, why are you so excited about it? Because that's what I do. I'm a preacher. All right. So here's the third thing, a spiritual mindset acknowledges the Lord's help. You know, I was reading from an old saint, and one of the things I noticed about them that would probably help us is these old saints used to talk about the Holy Spirit a lot. The Holy Spirit is my helper. The Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit's a gift from God to us. He's not a spirit of fear. He's a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. and He helps us, and He leads us, and He guides us, and He teaches us. We all talk about Him. I got help. I got a built-in helper. God has given me a helper. Jesus, in John, Jesus said this, I will pray the Father, He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. Aren't you glad Jesus gave us some help who is just like Him, and He does not leave us? So, Alan, I felt like He leaves me. No, we go back up to spiritual mindset number one. God's Word is the basis of our belief. I can't base it on my feelings. I have to base it on what Jesus has said. Truth. So that's the third one, and here's the fourth one. A spiritual mindset does not talk fear and give in to fear. Now, this will require some practice. You'd be surprised at how much fear is in our conversation. And so you have to begin to learn to root that out. So God is not the one causing the fear in our lives. He doesn't want us afraid. Romans 8, and we'll close here. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Spiritual mindset. This is by no means an exhaustive study of it, but it's at least a beginning of changing how we think, changing how we look at things, changing our perception, and we begin to change it. And let me tell you something. We've got a wonderful book that helps us do that. A book filled with God's thoughts that we begin to make our thoughts. And not just our thoughts, but we put them in our words and we begin to function this way. Say, will this change things? It'll change everything. It'll make a difference. And then you join Caleb and Joshua and all the other witnesses of people who said, you know what? I'm going to believe God's good. I'm going to trust Him. And that's going to make a difference in my life. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? This evening, if you came and say, or you're watching online, and you said, you know, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord, or I'm really not sure where I stand with Him, but I want to be sure. Or maybe you're like I was. I'd had a relationship with the Lord, and I really just walked away from Him, turned my back and walked away, but I realized that's not where I wanted to be. So I came back, and He'll take you back in a heartbeat. We're going to say a prayer. Not going to have you stand up. Not going to have you come down to the front, but we are going to pray. And if that's you, and you're saying, Alan, that is me. I want to be sure where I stand with the Lord, or I want to come back to Him. Would you pray for me? Would you just quickly shoot your hand up across this auditorium? Thank you. Got you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Thanks. All in the back. Anybody else? Say, that's me. Would you pray for me? Great. Thank you. Takes a lot of courage to do that, a lot of humility, but it pays off so well. We're going to pray. I can't see you if you're online. But if you're by yourself, pray this prayer with us out loud. If you're with other people, pray it quietly. We're going to pray this with you as a church family. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord. It's my Savior. It's the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. Father, thank You for those who have prayed that prayer. We just join our faith with them. This is a life-changing moment on a cold Wednesday night. Things will change. Thank You for the change You've worked in their hearts. Thank You for the changes You will work in their lives. As a church, we support them and love them and stand with them to watch them grow and develop into all that You've called them to be. We thank You for that. And Father, for the rest of us, thank You. We're in the constant process of renewing our minds, gaining a spiritual mindset. And we get stronger and stronger, and we go from glory to glory. And You get all the honor and all the praise at what You're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.